your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and yeah, you bet right, I lost my voice. I lost my voice. It is holiday party season. I went out two nights in a row. I gapped. Actually went out four nights in a row, but not in like a going out way. Like, I went to a Wrangler event, which was amazing. They have a collaboration with Stranger Things and have really cute stuff. And then I went to my friend Jeffrey's holiday party, which was a blast. And I talked and I laughed and I chatted. And I woke up Saturday and was like, oh, I don't think I can talk anymore. And then I went to a hockey game. And then I woke up the next day and was like, oh, I fully lost my voice. And then I went to a very fun kid's birthday party. And then I went out to Tam O'Shanter, the iconic Disney unofficially affiliated restaurant, for my annual holiday dinner with a few friends. And by that time, I was like, oh, I lost my voice. And then I woke up this morning, Monday, and it's gone. It's fully gone. So I apologize that I cannot give you that big ol' punch of oomph here in the December holiday season. But do not fear. The interview for this week was recorded while I was still vocally able. Everything is totally fine. I have only a few things in the episode that I didn't record until I was in this state. But don't worry, I have a solve for it, as you will soon hear. I hope everyone is having a great holiday. I don't want to make you listen to this any longer. I apologize. But this episode is so fantastic and so worth it. And I'm so glad I recorded it when I did, because I want to make sure you get to enjoy all of it in this here Shrek-cember. I'm just gonna go. This is bad. But stay tuned for some surprises, because I am not gonna record the rest of the episode. Somebody else will. Okay, stay tuned. Love you. Bye.
Becky.
Carly.
We are together, everyone. We are together. Aboard the Disney Destiny. We are using these newfangled mics that I purchased for this moment, basically.
This is
because
awesome.
We had that mic fail the other time
we
at Disneyland.
We did.
You're so sweet to say we. Becky's joining in on the failure. It was all me.
We are in this together, girl. We are always in this together. This is how this works. You and I holding hands and trying to make mics work.
We're like the end of Rogue One, you and I.
Precisely.
But in a much happier setting, because we are talking about saving money on a future vacation.
Saving money and on what is supposed to be or going to be an amazing vacation as we sit in the location we're in.
Yeah. I mean, y'all are going to hear about it when you hear this, but it's dope. It is a good show.
Yep. Oh, wow.
But you have some money-saving stuff for us, don't you?
We always do, don't
we? I love it. You truly float in. Yeah. You float in and you're like, want to save money on a trip? I got you. I'll do the work. I'll go on go.com. I don't mind.
And the hard part is there's so many right now. And I have to warn you, it's going to get even better, because this little known thing called Black Friday is right around the corner. And suppliers right now are already starting to leak what to look forward to. So I have a little bit of that for you in a second, too. First of all, let's start with the new one that just came out, which is a Disney Plus subscribers. If you're enrolled in their Disney Plus perks, now it is different. You have to actually enroll in the perks program, but you can get a special 3-day, 3-park ticket to select theme parks for starting at $109 per day.
Ooh!
Which, that's a big deal, of
that's
course.
That's a big deal.
If you're a Disney Plus subscriber and you get into Disney Perks, and of course, they don't just do tickets there. Disney Perks allows for all kinds of discounts. So if you're not subscribed yet, do so, because that'll give you one. There are a couple of opportunities, too, with that same package. It's the dates are January 12th to May 22nd that you can actually use those. But you can also upgrade to their stay and play package, which also gets you an additional discount. So perks there for you.
Heck yeah.
That's number one. Number two, we still have Walt Disney World up on the save, up to $250 per night on a 4-night, 4-day room and ticket package. $250 per night.
That's a lot of money. That's cold hard cash.
Exactly. And it is still available right now. And that's going to be available for most stays February 22nd all the way to July 25th. So,
We're out here saving money in summer.
You're saving money in summer. And this is unusual. We don't usually see the summer come out until January and sometimes February. So for it to be available now, you can get ahead of it and get the hotel that you want.
Summer vacation is holiday gift. Bing, bing, boom, you're done.
Exactly. So that's one of those things. holiday gifts. You get it for your family, of course, but you get to go too. So it's actually a gift for yourself.
Thank you so much, Becky. We have so much more in store in the next break. So everybody, stick around.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days with liquid lash extension mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple, just gotta get out the door routine or fall glam that wows at all your favorite festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
Welcome back. I had a bunch of tea and I'm feeling pretty good to talk about my pal, Julia Prescott. There is a surprise later in the episode, which is someone else recording for it, but you're just gonna have to wait and see. Now, this week's guest is a one in a million kind of gal. And if you're not familiar with her by name, either from her appearances on podcast The Ride or her own Simpsons podcast or her incredible social media presence or her phenomenal newsletter or her random stint as the face of Universal Studios Hollywood in promotional material, good Lord, Julia, how do you do all of this? I swear you have like more time in a day than the rest of us. If you haven't heard of her from all of that, well, don't worry because you are absolutely familiar with her work. Because Julia wrote the 2020 Treehouse of Horror episode of The Simpsons, which Variety named as one of the best episodes of the entire series run. The show's been on 30 years, and Julia's episodes is one of the best, okay? That is how much she excels at everything she puts her mind to. But that's not even all that she does. She's a writer, she's a director, she's an author. She is the creator of Trash Draft, which is this incredible workshop she does to help writers convert their script idea into a finished first draft. She gives back to the community, and we love her for it. We became internet friends basically just due to our lengthy overlapping list of interests. Our roads just kind of were leading towards each other. But I admire her so much, not just because she has unprecedentedly good personal style. She really does. But what I love most about Julia is that she works hard and oh boy, does she play hard. After busting her butt on scripts as a working Hollywood screenwriter, which in 2025 is very hard to do. She's like fully the next big thing. She won't say it, but I'm telling you, in a few years, it's going to be crazy that she was on this podcast. Julia, after working so hard, takes an inspirational end-of-year trip with multiple stops, all of them more whimsical than the next. And she doesn't spill a single bean about where she's going until she is actually there. She's just the coolest, most talented Hollywood person in the whole world. Not in like a Hollywood person way. She's just like so talented that she's in Hollywood because she can do it all. And I'm so blessed and lucky to call her a friend. To the level where, you know, I can just force her to, on her trek to go see Universal Studios Singapore, require that she do some Shrek-based research for me on this vacation and come back and report on it, which I cannot wait for you to hear about. There is so much fun in this episode about her trips. Like, truly, you will be blown away by them. But at the end, we do get into a little Tokyo Disney because, of course we do. And it didn't kind of like drops out in the audio, but the show she is referencing with Mickey Mouse drumming is Big Band Beat. We have talked about it on Very Amusing before, but just in case, that is what we're talking about. I hope you enjoyed this one. I won't sound like this in the interview, I promise. This is the end of me sounding like this in this episode. But I had to like blow. I had to take the last little bit of my voice working. I had to do it to tell you how excited I am to have Julia on the show. So enjoy. Happy Shreksember, everyone. And have a good time with this one. It's so fun. Julia, welcome to Very Amusing.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me. What a delight to be here.
This is the least work has ever felt like work. The least.
Oh, Yeah. I can just say I've been dreaming about this. I literally dreamt about it last night. I've been looking forward to this with all of my heart and soul. This is my favorite topic on top of my favorite topic.
I mean, truly, like, the marriage of travel, animation, and a quirky theme park is really your sweet spot.
It really is. It's where the Matrix lives and thrives.
Truly. Now, before we get into your travels, tell me a little bit about, like, your connection to Shrek. Have you been a fan of the franchise forever? Did you come into it vis-a-vis theme park? What's your relationship to the franchise?
I came into it through the movies, and I came into it through, I feel like, a lot of people coming into it of, like, here's the first DreamWorks movie that's, like, really announcing itself and, you know, really establishing the tone that would follow DreamWorks. And then I will say, by association, Illumination later on, of, like, here is an animation company that is dipping a little bit more into the subversive comedy. Shrek, of course, was, like, very pop culture centric in ways that Disney would never. But I just remember being really surprised by that first one. And to be honest, I think Shrek 2 is my favorite of the franchise.
Ooh.
I think I have a theory that a lot of animated film franchisees, they really get cooking on the sequel. I think Sing 2 is superior to Sing 1. I think Sing 2 is actually superior to a lot of movies, animation and live action. but that's a separate podcast for another day. But that's sort of how I entered
that's for
it.
Sing-Sember. Sing-Sember when we get there.
Yeah. We run out of Shrek December things, but we've gone to the Shrek rave. We'll go to Sing-Sember. Yeah, so that's how I entered it. And and I also think that the soundtrack is something that not a lot of people comment on enough. I mean, sure, of course, you've got your All-Star, to which we will probably discuss at length today, because it was playing a lot at Universal Singapore. But, you know, E from Eels, I believe, was, like, the one of the music supervisors. And so because of that, you have a lot of, again, like, unconventional choices for pop songs and other rock songs that are played in these movies. So I think that that adds to it as well.
And I do want to add that you come with kind of an air of knowledge, because you are low-key the face of Universal Studios Hollywood.
I am one of the faces. Listen, one of... This is, like, top three career moments. I received an inquiry from Universal proper saying, "Hi, Julia, we are a fan of your Instagram."
That's how it happened?
Yeah! Because on my Instagram, maybe I don't even know actually if they saw this, but on my Instagram for many years, my nickname on it has been the Young Pope of CityWalk, because I believe that Universal City Walk is Los Angeles Vatican City. I am its young pope. The minion overlooking the 101 is our version of Christ the Redeemer, guiding us all. And that all started because I used to host a comedy show at Meltdown Comics, Rest in Power. And that just is where my nickname came. So anyway, it's been on my Instagram forever. They reached out to me. "Hey, we're a fan of your Instagram. Would you like to audition?" Auditioned, got it. And the rest is history. I want to let everyone know, Universal Studios, corporate, etc., I'm available to be the continued face. I can do whatever you want me to do. I will shill whatever you want me to shill, but it's been an honor.
For people who are not very familiar with your annual trip, your famous annual trip, can you break down a little what this pilgrimage you do each year entails?
Yes. So, I am a professional screenwriter, 10 to 11 months out of the year. And like a lot of other writers, I find myself trapped in my little writer cave in my home office for just unending periods of time. And it started about 4 or 5 years ago, where I love travel, but never, because of my work schedule, feel like I never really find time for it and all of that. So I made this conscious effort to end every year going on this big, epic solo trip. I really love solo travel as well. I believe that everybody should solo travel at least once in their life. You learn so much about yourself. You learn so much about the world, of course. If things go awry, I call it tough training. So anyway, I started planning this. And of course, each trip over the years got more and more epic, more and more far-flung. And of course, more and more incorporating weird theme parks from around the world. And I just did my fourth annual, which was a 5-country, 6-city, 3-week gauntlet through Asia, starting in Singapore. And then I went from Singapore to Bangkok, Phuket for one night to go to a themed bathroom. We'll talk about that. And then from there, I went to Taipei, Seoul, and Tokyo.
Also, for this podcast to be out for almost 6 years and it to take this long for someone who traveled to a themed bathroom to come on is
I know.
humiliating.
But you know what? It's an honor and privilege to be the first.
Now, I want to get into Universal Studios Singapore, but once we start talking about it, we're never going to stop. So I think we got to go straight into bathroom. You got to tell
Okay,
us.
great. Absolutely. Okay, so the bathroom that I went to is a part of a theme park called Carnival Magic. It is a theme park that is on the island of Phuket in Thailand. I just learned just opened. I thought it was open for at least 10 years. No, it just opened in 2022. So it is a COVID era theme park. And it is what, how can I say? It's not so much a theme park in so much that there are tons of rides for you to explore and enjoy. They do have some carnival type of rides. But when I got there, I realized all of them were like pay to play kind of situations. But really, the star is the bathroom, but really the star is they have an how an indoor parade that exists on this like crazy long stage. They have like 10 different world records at this place. One of the world records that I sent to you was the world record for the largest popcorn machine in the world. Of course, you're the popcorn
It was
princess.
huge. It was
It
huge.
was huge. I can verify, giant popcorn machine. But they also have like other sort of world records for, sorry, my camera is going crazy. I'll
No, it's
just
fine.
continue talking. Okay, great. World record for like the most amount of lights in a like cultural show or something crazy like that. But anyway, the whole place smells like birthday cake flavor. It took me several hours to realize that that was what was permeating every corner. I was like, I know this scent. And then 3 hours in, I was like, oh, God. And then of course my clothes smelled like that for several days, which was very welcomed. But the bathroom. The bathroom is what we're talking about. So it is the toilet. That's Toylet. And when you walk in, the whole theme park is circus themed. The toilet is this like, if you're scared of clowns, do not come here. There's like giant clowns that greet you. When you walk in, there's literally a map for the women's room and the men's room. And like it's animated and interactive. Of course, I went to the women's room and I just went from stall to stall because each stall is differently themed. If you're familiar with the Madonna Inn and how like that's a hotel that has every room is themed to something else, every bathroom stall at this bathroom is themed to something else. Some of the themes, Tamagotchi theme. There's a giant Tamagotchi outside of the stall. And then when you walk inside, they have like this flashing Tamagotchi on the wall that you just sort of like watch. And as you're doing your business, watch a Tamagotchi sort of swirl around. There's another one where you, it's sort of like a game that you press a button and it swirls around and gives you a little like ball as a prize. And when you open it up, it's a little packet of tissues. You can do that. I grabbed a bunch to take home.
How did you decide which was worthy of peeing in?
That is a good question. I well, when I first when I was just sort of doing a tour. So I think I was just sort of like taking stock and inventory of like which were the ones available. And it was funny because I was far from the only person just taking like camera footage of everything. It feels like the bathroom is its own destination. Everyone was going from stall to stall. I think the one that I chose was the one where you get a prize because I just felt like, come on, let's go.
Was it worth it? Was it worth
Oh my
the
God,
sub over?
absolutely 100% worth it. Yeah, I mean, I would say that like I'm a little ashamed that I went all the way to Phuket and I only went to this whimsical theme park. But I also am cheap at all. I'm the young pope of CityWalk. What else do you want from me?
These are our interests.
Listen, I know we're in agreement. I will break for whimsy. I will go way out of my way for whimsy. And I was proud when I got picked up at the airport and they asked me why I was there. I was proud to say I was only going to Carnival Magic. It was incredible.
I think it was a brilliant,
highly recommend.
A brilliant choice.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Now, Universal Studios Singapore. Mm-hmm. I have never been. It is one of the final destinations on my bucket list. I've been to Singapore, just couldn't make it there. But yeah. You have made it. You have made it. Your feet have touched the ground of Universal Studios Singapore. What was it like?
Oh, boy. Well, it's first and foremost, I mean, like all Singapore, you can like start to brace yourself for the weather, but like nothing can prepare you for the weather. You're on an island. The humidity is out of control. So take that in mind. But I think that all of that, it gives this like different vibe, of course, to this Universal Park, because it is smaller than, you know, Universal Hollywood and Universal Orlando. I haven't looked at like the hard data for like what is the footprint of it, but it feels really robust. And I think that is mainly because there is a great diversity of lands, that not only do you get our Shrek land far, far away, but you get a Mummy land. You get the brand new Minions land, which is like the smallest one. They kind of jammed it in there. And then, of course, you get your normal Hollywoody things. But I felt like there was just a lot to do outside of Shrek stuff. I really was bowled over by, they have a Sesame Street ride that is so just darling. I went on it twice. You know, you're going through and following Grover to, you know, like fight the evil spaghetti monster or whatever. And the way they do it, the ride vehicle is very similar to the bikes in E.T., beloved ride, love, love, ooh, love. And you're sort of swirling through not just like the Sesame Street, New York City streets, but then you go into space. And it just is really well thought out and well executed. I'll say some
New
of
York,
the downsides.
New York space, is this Jimmy Fallon?
I know, right? Which I can't not go on, even though I'm like every time wondering how. Maybe it's because I wonder how much longer do we have Jimmy Fallon as a theme park attraction.
You never know.
You never know. I will say the one big downside to Universal Singapore that I think is going to be a big standout in comparison to the other parks is that, you know, there are some rides that are, let's just say, like not given the detail-oriented sheen as some of their counterparts. Most notably, the Mummy ride.
Oh,
here.
No, this is what I was going to ask about.
In the Singapore Mummy ride, you kind of start with like the you're being eaten by beetles moment, which happens at the midpoint, I want to say, of the Hollywood one. So you kind of start there and then you kind of work your way back. And, you know, it's the same kind of general roller coaster experience. But the story of this one was a little baffling to me, where it was just about like, hey, ride writers, you are here to find the Book of the Living. And that's the only thing that they shout at you throughout the entire ride. And maybe if they didn't shout at us too much and sort of like chimed in with other sort of spooky, scary mummy type things, I wouldn't have noticed it. But the fact that it was like the one thing that was bellowed at us from like start to finish in this ride made me feel like there would be some sort of, you know, arc, some sort of extra finale where, ooh, we got the Book of the Living, and isn't that great? No, we don't get the Book of the Living. We are shouted out throughout the ride to get it. Emotep shows up toward the end and is like, hey, hate to break it to you, but you're all mine. And then literally the ride ends.
What a bummer.
That was dark.
You want to be rewarded at the end for your work.
I know. I would love to be thanked for my bravery in every ride, not just Transformers.
How did it feel for you to walk through a park that's similar to what we have at home, but it's like, oh, a new experience, a new
oh
park
my God.
That's somewhat, you know, it's somewhat like what you do at home, but it's so different.
Well, that is one of the main reasons why I love going to international theme parks. It honestly, it makes me think about like, being a kid and not having gone to Disney World yet, but I remember having this, like, you know, like Disney World coffee table book that my mom gave my sister and I. And I think it was like made in like the late 80s, early 90s. So it was very dated, but I just remember being like, oh my God, you know, their rides are flipped in order or whatever, things that are so similar yet so different. For Universal Singapore, it was, you know, fun and bizarre in its own way because, you know, their version of Jurassic Park is different than us. It's a rapids ride compared to it just being like a straightforward boat ride in Hollywood. So that was really exciting to see. And, you know, even the mummy thing, you know, like just to notice the little differences there. And of course, like being so far away from home, being an LA native, looking down their version of Hollywood Street is always a laugh.
We got to talk about the big show. The main event is their Shrek-themed land, far, far away. What did it feel like to step through those gates?
So I posted about this on my Instagram. But you know that video of Drew Barrymore when it's raining and she's walking out and crying and dancing in the rain? And she's like, you have to do a terrible Drew impression. You have to dance in the rain if you get the chance. Like, and she's, you know, just being her most cringe but beautiful. She is cringe, but she's free. That's how I felt when I walked into Far, Far Away. I swear to God, I walked in. All Star was playing.
Oh.
I instantly got my phone out. I twirled. I danced. I didn't care who saw me. I was in just pure bliss. You know, a couple hours later, and you've heard All Star play for the fourth time. It's not hitting the same, but in that moment, it was incredible. And I should also say that this is the only part of the park that has a proper castle. So take that for what it's worth. You know, that feels particularly nice. And within that castle is Shrek 4D, which it has been gone from our Hollywood park for so long. And to see a fallen brother again. Wow.
You enter this blissful land. Where do you go first? Because there are so many different fun things to see. Did you go straight to Shrek 4D?
Good question. I think honestly, I just took it in. Carly, I spent 3 hours there uninterrupted. And part of that was because, of course, I was so excited, but also because we were chatting before this and, you know, we were talking about coming on the podcast to talk about. So one thing that I really love, not only in travel, but in theme park travel, is when somebody gives me an assignment. It kind of feels like I never like to enter a record store without like a list, you know?
Yeah.
So it felt like that. It felt like this was my record store. I'm like, okay, here I'm on assignment. I'm your cub reporter, boots on the ground. What can I do? So I think almost immediately I was like texting you photos of the dining areas. There was this gorgeous tapestry that they had on the wall that was like a medieval style tapestry of, you know, Shrek and Fiona. And I think it was like a riff on like the dogs playing poker, but it was them and Donkey and, you know, all of that. So I was just sort of taking in all of those details and trying to figure out like what my next step would be. And then I think the first ride I did was the Puss in Boots ride, which was great.
The Puss in Boots Giant Journey ride?
Yes.
Tell me
Giant Journey
all about it, because I've seen some videos online. It looks like a roller coaster, but tame.
Yes. So there's two different roller coasters in Far, Far Away. One is, I think, Enchanted Airways, which is a very similar ride to Flight of the Hippogriff that they have in the Harry Potter lands out here. And then they have this Puss in Boots ride where it is, yeah, like a kid roller coaster, but it has some sort of twists and turns, not unlike Goofy Sky School. The thing that I find really fun and interesting about it is that the way that the ride vehicle is, it's sort of like this sort of glidery type vehicle where you're kind of attached from the top with the car track and you're kind of dangling and sort of like, you know, darting around in that way. But there's no like, you know, I guess beyond just like a steep fall every now and then. You're not like, you know, doing extreme things like loops or whatever, but you're kind of like, you know, zipping through the different it wasn't really clear what the story was. You're just zipping through different moments in Puss in Boots lore. And I believe the ending has like a sort of Mother Goose kind of moment with it. And we always love that. We always love that. But yeah, that was really exciting.
How delightful to move through space on a Shrek attraction. Because we don't get that at home. We don't have that.
I know. And then also, this is something that I really like about the Flight of the Hippogriff that we have here, is that it's not so much about the ride, but it's about the views that you get from the ride. And also, fun fact, that was the first ride I went on after COVID lifted.
You were like, I gotta get
very emotional. Listen, I gotta run. But similar to that, the views from this Puss in Boots ride is really like 75% of the experience. I found myself like I was recording it the whole time in a safe way that wasn't disturbing other people.
Of course.
But I found that there were just like amazing vantage points from this where you got like most of the park in, you know, this sort of like high perch from, you know, this land.
It seems like they pack a lot into a small area because when I was looking through things, there is a Ferris wheel inside a gift shop.
Yeah, so... that was an interesting point that I wanted to talk about because it's I don't know what it says about like their sort of theme park planning for it, because it read as afterthought, and the way in which it's presented is you're not sure if it's even something that you can ride from the way that it's like presented in the gift shop. But maybe that's just me being a 5'9" woman who is not a tiny kid who would, you know, find this delightful. But yeah, I will say that they packed a lot in. Again, like I spent 3 hours there and was really trying to cover every inch of it. And I'm sure if you just walked through, zip through, you'd be like, how do you spend more than 20 minutes here? But you really can.
We're eating good this winter because you and I are smart enough to know we gotta be using EveryPlate. You don't need to spend a ton of money on groceries or your whole night in the kitchen to make food you want to eat at home, because EveryPlate gives you restaurant-level deliciousness without having to pay for valet. You know what I had for lunch today? Tuna. A can of tuna. Not even tuna salad. Because I have no condiments at home, because I dread going grocery shopping. I was out of town, I thought I would be on top of things, and I wasn't. But EveryPlate sets you up for success and saves you from eating a sad can of tuna like you are a cat when you are an adult woman. EveryPlate meals are exceptionally tasty. They're easy to make, easy to follow recipes, and way better than anything I would cook up myself without them. Again, I don't want to go to the grocery store, and they're doing all of it for you, because EveryPlate's constantly rotating weekly recipes will be delivered right to your door, so you'll always have the best answer to what's for dinner. You'll spend less on those flavor-packed homemade meals than you would on your normal groceries or at a restaurant, and you can up your dinner game in 30 minutes or less with EveryPlate's clear, easy-to-follow recipes. And frankly, take it from me, you will cook better than you ever have before. I'm just not willing to buy a $7, $9, $11 condiment for a single recipe that I'll use once and never do again. I'm also not out here perusing the internet to find a recipe in the grand ocean of recipes that exist out there. Let me tell you what, I don't even want to look for this stuff because I don't want to mess with my very perfect algorithm. It keeps giving me really good shopping websites, like really good clothes and stuff that I want. I've put this much effort in liking and saving things. It knows me now. And if I start adding food in, it's going to ruin everything. EveryPlate solves all these problems. It meets me where I am, at home and hungry. And if you haven't tried EveryPlate yet, you've heard me yap about it. You should give it a try. So really, what are you waiting for? Dig into these flavor-packed meals your household will love. New customers can enjoy this special offer of only $1.99 per meal. Go to everyplate.com/podcast and use the code AMUSING199 to get started. Applied as discount on first box, limited time only. That's everyplate.com/podcast with the code AMUSING199. Happy eating! It's wintertime and I'm cold, okay? Yeah, I'm in LA, but I'm cold. I'm shivering. I'm recording this with a blanket over my shoulders. And as someone who spent her entire college years in a tip-to-tail, full-body puffy coat, there is no need to spend your winters looking like a walking sleeping bag, okay? You can still be chic without feeling the chill because of Quince. From Mongolian cashmere sweaters to Italian wool coats, even the phrase Italian wool coats is chic. Everything here is premium quality at a price point you'll actually be excited about. Need some layers to refresh your winter wardrobe? Nab some soft Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50 that look and feel like designer pieces. Have endless holiday events that are all vaguely professional? They've got everything you need, like silk tops and skirts for dressing up. Each piece is made with premium materials and is elevated, timeless, and made to wear on repeat. But the sweaters? The sweaters are taking me out. I cannot decide which color of the Mongolian cashmere oversized crew neck that I am committing to because I picked up the brown one and I am tempted by the others. And I can't buy all of them, but honestly, at this price point, I could definitely buy a few. But I am going to pair it with bike shorts, which you know I also got here. I'm also going to pair my sweater with fancy event pants. They will take you through your entire schedule. This garment will go with everything. And that is how I feel about so many of Quince's luxe staples. And we rarely talk about this, but you guys, they're not just clothes. They've got kids' sleep sacks. They've got fine jewelry. They're out here. They're selling diamonds. They've also got luxury skincare. It's a digital department store of one-stop shopping you can't go wrong with. Find gifts so good you'll want to keep them because sometimes you're buying them for yourself with Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. It's also now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. And get that sweater in brown and then we'll be twins.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What else did you do while you were there?
I met Shrek and Fiona. I was going to save this for the end, but I have met the royalty of this. It was toward the tail end of October. And so they had a lot of like spooky, scary, horror nightsy sort of things happening. But I was most interested in seeing Shrek and Fiona for a photo meet and greet in their Halloween costumes. I was so excited. I was the only single woman there. Everybody else was a family, young child.
The only one brave enough to stand in your
brave dream. Enough. Thank you so much. They had like a little basket of like Halloween candy to give to everybody. And it was so funny because when I got up there, the employee working was like, she almost gave me one and then held back and then was like, I don't know what the protocol is. You are not a child. but I ran over to meet them. I also saw on the schedule that they roam around the park and they, you know, there's like a stage in the Hollywood area that, you know, you may be able to see them as well. So that was very exciting. I of course went to Shrek 4D. That was great. And that's, within the castle. So you can walk around. The queue is great.
Wow.
I know. It made me think of my favorite part of our Harry Potter lands, both in Florida and in California, is going inside Hogwarts and walking around the castle. I think that if you do the single rider, if you do any sort of line cutting, you're cutting out a huge part of the experience. So this was really great to walk inside the castle. How fun. They have a donkey live. Which is very similar to Turtle Talk with Chris. You want to talk about that?
No, we got to talk about this because if we were going to send anyone to Singapore to see a comedy show in the Shrek universe, you would have to be Tribute. Like it would have to be you.
It would have to be me. I would fight people for it to be me. Yeah. And boy, was it me in this situation. you know, we all know what this is. We've seen it, as I mentioned, Turtle Talk with Crutch. We've seen it in all these different instances. It's, you know, basically like a, you know, computer generated interactive show that, you know, like does crowd work with the audience. It was like a, I want to say a 20-minute show. But about like 12 minutes of that was just like pre-taped, pre-generated Donkey doing like a Soul Man kind of riff. And then 8 minutes. And so it's like him with like a, you know, fake band, but it's all on the screen. So they're not really there. Just Donkey as a character singing like Soul Man type songs or James Brown type songs. And you're like, okay, that's fun. I didn't know that this was a music show, technically, but, I'm rolling with you. And then, he, you know, would do a song and then he would introduce us to the show and then start picking on people from the audience. But it was very short. I like that was the thing that stood out most to me, that it was like such a brief moment of interaction. I think he only talked to like one German tourist, one child, and then like gotta pack it up, do another like Soul Man kind of riff, and then that's the end of the show.
Is there anything on the opposite side of the coin that like really surprised you? I know we talked about the tapestry, like was the dining or the merchandise particularly more exciting than you anticipated?
I'm so grateful for this question. The merchandise really blew me away. I, again, was texting you. And,
yeah,
and
I know.
I had, and this was the beginning of my trip, so I was full of the hubris of like, oh, I have plenty of room in my luggage, when truly, when I arrived, I didn't. But I was still like just clamoring for every bit of merch. One thing that just really stood out to me, and I'm happy to say that I did buy something from this sort of angle of merch, they have latched onto the fact that Shrek had in the first movie that monologue about being an onion. And they've really latched onto that as being their interpretation being like, well, then Shrek loves onions. Shrek equals onions. Shrek is love and love is onions. And so you may find when you walk into a Universal Singapore Shrek Far, Far Away merch booth, a whole wall that is like onion soup. Here's a coffee commuter cup that just says onion soup and it has Shrek's face on it. There is a bottle opener that's also a magnet that I purchased, happy to say, that just has a photo of Shrek or an image of Shrek. And then it just says onion on like a bowl of onion soup or a bottle opener.
Dare I ask how the food was?
So, as you know, Carly, I am vegan. I'm not the craziest, strictest vegan, you know, particularly when it comes to treats. So I did eat a Shrek waffle. They have waffles that are, you know, very similar to Mickey waffles, but in the middle of the circle waffle shape is like a green Shrek. So I was like, ooh, gotta have that. But because I'm also lactose intolerant, I couldn't have ice cream with it. So it was a dry guy. It was fine though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But otherwise, the food that you may find there are very similar to your typical theme park fare. So they have like a Goldilocks, you know, food stand that is like fried chicken.
Yeah. Sure. I saw that it was chicken done just right.
Oh, yes. Of course. Yeah. I would say that for my fellow vegans and vegetarians, you may find better options as I did in like the Egypt area where they have curries. All those sorts of things. Singapore in general is a really great place to find a lot of different vegetarian options because, of course, they have Little India, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, as far as like Far, Far Away goes, it was like, okay, well, do you want a waffle? Do you want some fries? Do you want some other fries? We have three different types of fries. So, yeah. But they have slushies too, if you want that.
Ooh.
They have slushies.
I think there's only one other thing in the land we didn't talk about, which is the fortune teller show. Did you happen to catch that?
I did not. I didn't even see it on the
lineup. So it might not have been running when you were there because I watched a full YouTube video of it. But they, when I went to look at it, it's like it's currently unavailable. Mm. But it was called Fortune Favors the Fury, and it is starring Puss in Boots.
Oh, I would have loved that.
What a bummer.
What a bummer. I know you, that's the thing too about like planning these trips. You can only really plan so far. And so sometimes, like I at the end of this trip, I went to Tokyo Disney Sea, and when I went there, Journey to the Center of the Earth was not working,
It's there's
and that
always going to be something.
breaks my heart.
I know.
There's always going to be something.
Always going to be something.
But you
I
know
know.
what? That makes me go, gotta come back next
Gotta come
time.
back. Gotta come back. Oh my
I
gosh. Yeah.
shall.
To end this trip in Tokyo DisneySea is just a
I
dream.
know. For my fourth time, and I was there. Well, I was there the year before, and we talked about this separately. And I'm sorry to say this to your listeners that this is no longer available, but last year when I went, I finally got to see the show where Mickey plays the drums,
Big
and I
Bambi,
don't
yes.
think I. Yeah, I've never been the same. I think that the fervor that Mickey playing the drums ignites is so strong that Tokyo as a city and Japan as a country would be on their knees in shame if they did not harness all of their resources to make it happen again. And I think they're way ahead of us.
It
I think
really,
they.
and no offense to others who haven't done it, but it really is life-changing.
I described in full detail over the holiday to several adults who I think realized they buckled up for a ride they didn't want to partake. I described in full detail how there is nothing like Mickey playing the drums. You think you've seen, it's not just, I will say, not just that Mickey Mouse is playing the drums and wow, how exciting. It is one of the best drum sets I've seen from a human.
And the outfit. I mean, he's like fully dressed.
I was crying, and I was instantly crying. Pay no attention to the fact that this was also at the end of a long trip, and perhaps I was missing home. Pay no attention to that. I was in tears, and they force you to put away your phone, and they are very strict about it. And that is the one time the entire trip where that rule was implemented that I was like, "You bastard. Why can't you let me post and spread the good word about Mickey playing the drum?" So I have faith that it'll come back.
It has
We
to.
we'll see.
Because Mickey's not just drumming, Mickey is wailing.
He's wailing on the drums. Like I said, the most impressive. And I want to also say that the way that they present it within the show, like it's the finale of the show, and like, the Fab Five are on stage and they're interacting. I forget what they're saying because all I'm focusing on is, wow, who is playing the drums? That's incredible. And then the curtains part and your life is never the same.
Change forever.
Yeah.
What advice would you have for someone who is going on a long overseas trip or wants to plan something like this? Because I know that you're not just booking hotels willy-nilly. Like, you're going points. You're very meticulous about it. What advice do you have for the masses who want to follow in your footsteps?
I would say that if you have never solo traveled before, start small, of course, and don't just like immediately jump off the deep end and feel like you have to jam in everything. Get to know what it's like to take a inter-trip to your trip first. Maybe start with like two cities and then sort of like scale out from there. If you are somebody who's already traveled a little bit and you're wanting to kind of jam in stuff, what I like to do when I'm organizing the order of my trips is I'll start with locations that I've never been to before that kind of seem challenging or scare me a little bit because they're unknown. But then I will try and land somewhere that I've been to before and have that kind of comfort and familiarity. So case in point, this past trip and the trip that I took last year, I started this time in, cities and countries that I've never been to before. And then I knew, I was going to be landing in Seoul and Tokyo, which is where I've been to before. And I also do that so that if things go awry at the beginning of my trip, I go, well, I got hustled at the airport, but at least I'm going to be seeing Mickey playing the drums at the end. It kind of can comfort you in that way. And I would also say that, like, I do a lot of my research through Reddit and TikTok, and I think that those are like the most incredible places just to get like from, the mouth of somebody who is either there now or has been there recently, like what to look out for. And I think that that could be easier to digest than, going from like blog to blog and website to website where you truly don't know, like, is this a corporation that's working for this company? Blah, blah, blah. So I would really start there. And I would also encourage people that it can be cheaper than you think. Like you mentioned, Carly, like I do a lot of credit card points things. That was a kind of math that took me many years to figure out. And now I want to spread the good word. You know, but there are also like other ways that you can find, you know, cheaper accommodations, of course, through Vrbo and Airbnb. But you know, I also like to figure out what can be manageable by train. You know, what are ways that you can kind of like spice up a vacation for yourself without breaking the bank? So that's kind of my goal. That and writing movies. Those are the only things I care about. And Mickey playing the drum.
We just need you to be writing a theme park attraction. That's all we need.
Oh, I.
If there has ever been someone mouth, who is a perfect fit. Ears.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hire her. Hire her, powers that be.
I'm available.
Thank you so much for coming on and for doing all of this Shrek research for us.
Oh my God, it is my pleasure. Whatever you need, when the red phone calls and it is you on the other line, Carly, I'm
the onion eager. Phone.
the onion phone, thank you. I'm eager to pick up. I will go to the ends of the earth for any other Shrek thing that you want. I need very little reason to hop on that plane.
Tell me more of what you got for Deals, Deals, Deals.
Well, of course, DCL, Disney Cruise Line, is still offering their 50% off their deposit that's due at time of booking. So that's a really good one if you're kind of strapped for cash right now, but you really want to get a good gift for your family. You can get 50% off the deposit. And that's for cruises between March 2026 and even into May 27th. So you got a little bit there. If you're perfect vacation includes a pineapple and an umbrella, then you got something at Alani because they are having their 25% off stays up to 5 nights or longer. And that is for most nights, January 4th, all the way to April 9th.
Ooh.
So another great idea to go and hang out with your family in a wonderful location. Now, remember when I was saying those Black Friday sales?
Yeah.
Here's one really quick. It's coming up right now. You can book by December 8th. And this is actually Celebrity Cruise Lines. You can save up to 75% off the second guest, believe it or not, or 50% off their second guest for the refundable fares, and the non-refundable fares are 75. So guess what, too? Free third, fourth, and fifth guest on their Black Friday sale.
Oh, everybody's coming.
I know. And imagine this. This is just one supplier, and they're now just starting to roll out these Black Friday sales, so keep your eye on them. Last but not least, we have an exclusive offer for Royal Caribbean, up to $100 onboard credit for staterooms that are booked by 12/8, by December 8th of this year, and that is valid on sailings that are all through 2026.
Oh my gosh.
I know. You can cruise, you can go to Alani, you can sip on a pineapple, you can have a great time in Walt Disney World, all at discounted rates.
Wow. Becky, thank you so much for blessing us with these discounts. And I can't wait to hear what's ahead if this is what we got now.
I know. Again, watch those Black Friday sales because that's going to be a key.
I love you, MEI Mouse Fan Travel.
Back at you.
Hi, Carly. This is Sam from British Columbia, Canada. And first of all, I was just wondering if you have heard of or seen the new movie on Disney Plus, a very Jonas Christmas movie. I just watched it, and let me tell you, there is the perfect cameo on there from Andrew Barth Feldman, and it had me rolling. It was so good. And if you haven't watched it, I highly recommend it. And my question here is, I am coming on the group trip in February, and I'm coming with my family. I'm toting along my husband and my three kids, who range in age from 7 down to, she will be 1 year at that time. And we're flying in a few days early, so we're going to be there from February 1st until the 9th. And we have a few days beforehand where we have it totally open-ended right now. We haven't decided what we're going to do before we check in on the 5th to Art of Animation. So I haven't spent a lot of time in Orlando, and we've only done Disney World when we've been there, the couple times we've been. So I was wondering if you have any recommendations for fun things to do in the Orlando area. Like, I was thinking seeing like, oh, I'm panicking now. Gator World or Gatorland, whichever it's called, something like that, or going to see Celebrate. Do you have recommendations of what you would think would be kind of must-see things or just fun things that would be kid-friendly to do in the area? Yeah, and I'm super excited for February. Thanks for your time. Bye.
Hi, Sam. Okay, so I actually haven't talked about this yet, but I saw this call come through in late November and I had a few other people message me and they were like, girly, you have to watch the Jonas Brothers movie. And I'm not really a Jonas girly, nothing against them. I just was raised on Hanson and boy bands more than them. So I wasn't going to watch this until literally everyone was recommending it. And I got to say, you were completely correct. Andrew's cameo in it is so good. I have to text him. I completely forgot to text him and congratulate him on how good it was. It was incredible. It was like, I mean, obviously my highlight of the movie, but the movie was pretty good. So if you haven't watched, I think it's called like a Jonas Brothers Christmas. You have to watch it. Maybe just for Andrew, but also like the Jonas Brothers are really good in it. I was impressed. As not a diehard Jonas person, I was quite impressed. I am so excited you are coming to Amusapalooza from Canada. You're crossing a country border to come hang out in Disney World with all of us. That's pretty freaking cool. I am very, very excited. I cannot wait to hang out with you. And what a trip to be able to come for so long and experience so much of Orlando. That said, I'm going to be real with you. I am not necessarily the best person to tell you what to do off property because, frankly, I rarely make it off property these days. I rarely am making it off property. I am always at a theme park and I always want to venture out. And I do a little, I get a little taste. Every few years, I get to go to a wonderful Vietnamese restaurant. I'm always going to pick up Gideon's cookies. That's like, that's my chore. That's like my chore. Whenever I go, I have to pick them up. But I do have some recommendations for you. Now, first of all, Gatorland. I have not yet been, but in case you haven't listened, we did an entire episode on Gatorland with Shelby Honey, who, if you're listening, hi, Shelby, one of our most illustrious guests. Definitely check that out. I will put the link in the show notes. And that is the most information I physically have about Gatorland for you. From everything she said, it sounds extremely cool, but I'm actually not sure what ages kid-wise it's best for. I know you're traveling with three kiddos, so definitely look into that and find out what age range for younger kids it is best for. I do want to also remind you there is a Legoland. I know there's also, I've driven from Orlando to Legoland. It wasn't that bad. It was like a fun road trip. And I drove past a local ice cream stand. It was kind of like an ice cream shop and I got ice cream there and it was dope. There's a Legoland if you want to look into that. There is an Orlando Science Center I've heard about, which I have not seen, which sounds pretty cool. I have not been to SeaWorld. There's also that. There's also a Crayola experience, which I've driven past 100 times and I have not done it. But when I was locked in Mall of America for 3 days, when I was in the Mall of America, I was there for 3 days. I didn't leave. They had a version of this in the mall and I got to make my own crayon and name it. And I still have it. Like it's like in my shelf, like a very cool experience. If you have any sort of brand affinity with Crayola, those are some of my, you know, off property suggestions. Again, not my strong suit. However, that is not all that I have for you. I want you to check out Lemon Hearted, not heart, H-E-A-R-T-E-D, Lemon Hearted. They are the go-to person for all like coffee, food, dining things locally in Orlando. I recommend them constantly because I think they are the very, very, very best at their job. And they're really like, they're like on the pulse of Orlando when it comes to like what yummies you want to get. I do also want to remind you that, you know, even though you're looking for other stuff, I am sure, I am certain that there are areas within Walt Disney World you've probably not seen yet. And this might be a really good trip to experience those things, especially because you are traveling with a little kid where something like a monorail tour around the main resorts is like probably a fun way to spend the night. If you do that, I recommend always eating at Gasparilla Island Grill. I think that is the easiest place to dine. It's also really nice to sit outside if there are something like fireworks happening. In terms of fireworks, also consider seeing the fireworks from one of the hotels, you know, away from your resort. Like, oh, try a different hotel. Just hang out there. People always go to the Poly, but I'm going to start recommending you go to Fort Wilderness because, you know, I had a great time when I was there. Is it a couple months ago? Was that a few weeks ago? What is time? It was a few weeks ago, I think. That beach was empty. And you know, it's a little tricky to get there because Disney World hotels have been a little weird lately about parking if you're not staying there. But there could be like, oh, I'm just going to get food at Trails End. Anyway, you can park there. You can get dinner. You can sit on the beach. And there was almost nobody on the beach when we were there. And it was a great vantage point. So consider like things that are Disney but different to you. Exploring different resorts. Like Fort Wilderness is a great place to mill about. Keep in mind, though, because you have a little one, golf carts are the main form of transportation throughout the interior of that resort, but you can take their interior buses. And once you get to the main area where like Hoop-Dee-Doo will be, and like where the waterfront is, where people can take boats to Magic Kingdom, that little area, like all of that is pretty much walking distance. You can see horses during the day. You can see horses. So definitely venture out. I don't want to sound like one of those people that's like, don't leave the bubble. But also, I encourage you to maybe find a Disney experience that's new to you, because if you've been going for a while and you love Disney, there's something about discovering something new at Disney World you haven't done before, which I think is like a spiritual experience. And I love a horse. What can I say? I love a horse. I can't wait to see you in February. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for calling about Andrew. I hope you have so much fun. And also let me know, like in person or later, call into the pod, if you find anything off campus, as I put it, that you want to spread the word to other parents about, because that is a full gray area for me. And I would love to know for future trips with my own child as well. Thank you so much for calling. See you soon.
Well, that's our show. Thank you all so much for listening. And thank you to our special guest, Julia Prescott. You can follow Julia on Instagram and Twitter at Julia Prescott. And be sure to check out her website, juliaprescott.com, for all the amazing projects that she is part of. All links will be in the show notes, so bop on over there. And special thanks to me, Mom, for filling in for Carly in parts of today's episode. Carly says she will take me on the next Disney trip for doing it, which she was going to do anyway, so kind of a cop-out, but that's fine. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also give us a call at 747-CHEEROS, anytime, anywhere. And if you're planning a Disney or Universal trip or a cruise, reach out to me or Mouse Fan Travel. They will help you do it all for free, and we love them. And don't forget, the promise of a vacation is the ideal last-minute gift. Don't get me a gift certificate, but get them a vacation that you can fool your loved ones into taking you, like me. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing and enjoy. You can follow Carly at Carly Weisel across the internet. Join the family at facebook.com/group/Carly Weisel and subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. It is such a bargain. It's so good. I do it and I love it. Thanks so much for listening. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Hi, honey, it's Mom. Okay, Mike Mitchell, the director of Shrek Forever After. What? How did you get Mike Mitchell? How did you do that? Oh, my God. This interview was so good, and it went by way too fast. A lot of fun facts. Oh, my God. Mike had his hands in so many movies. This guy's a legend. He's so entertaining, and I love your integrity that even though Mike blurted out some amazing things to come, you did not air it. You did not give his secrets away. I love that about you. What an interesting man. The interaction between the two of you was so much fun. I absolutely loved it. Great call from Tyler, your listener. I hear you, and I heard Grinch, and yes, Tyler's right on. So funny. Great episode, honey. I love you so much. I love you so much, Pearl. See you soon. Bye, baby.